Daniel chapter 5, verses 5 through 31. The time had come for God to exercise judgment against Babylon for her excesses. This judgment had long been prophesied, but because the long-suffering of the Lord had not rushed to destroy the sinners, and because of the careless forgetfulness of the Babylonians regarding the power and word of the Lord, the warnings he graciously gave were ignored. Now there was to be time no longer. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. Daniel 5, verses 5 and 6. In the midst of the king's revelry, at the height of the mockery he made of Jehovah, the part of the hand that wrote appeared in Belshazzar's palace and wrote upon the wall. It is said of the king, so bold and loud in his praise of false gods, so brave in his use of God's vessels for idolatry, that his knees smote one against another. Thus it always is. Those who make themselves mighty in rebellion against God are finally revealed as weak. Do not be seduced or deceived by the apparent strength of Babylon the Great. When the time of judgment arrives, there will be no power to resist God's purpose. It does not take the hand of open judgment and power to accomplish this, but only the part of the hand that writes, only God's word. Daniel had become a stranger in the palace where Nebuchadnezzar had raised him to such a high degree. Many years before, Daniel had separated himself from the Babylonian spirit of luxurious idolatry while at the magician's school. With the passing of saved Nebuchadnezzar, the old heathen spirit of the empire seemed to have reasserted itself. Not willing to be partaker of Babylon's religious superstition and carnal abuses, Daniel must have found himself outside the favored circle. When people descend into spiritual littleness, they are unwilling to find place for the spiritually great, such as Daniel. Some today question sound doctrine, saying that if it was true and good, it would surely obtain a better hearing. Let them read 2 Timothy 4:3a, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In his terror, Belshazzar called for the educated royal experts in superstition, the wise men. Unlike Nebuchadnezzar, who had ruled with authority and power, the weak Belshazzar sought to purchase an easing of his fear. He offered the place of third ruler in the kingdom to the one who interpreted the writing. Although Nebuchadnezzar is called his father in Daniel 5, 11, and 18, Belshazzar was actually Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. This is not an error, but is in accord with ordinary scripture usage. Belshazzar ruled as co-regent with his father, as the second ruler in the kingdom. Thus, the place of third ruler was the highest reward he could give. How truly Babylonian was this offer! The mother of harlots is, above all other things, a merchant with whom nothing is sacred. She is one who believes in a monetary price being placed upon everything. Babylon, with all her rulers and servants, knows nothing at all of receiving freely by grace, or of a God whose knowledge and blessings cannot be bought. Compare Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 23. If Daniel had become something of a stranger to the corridors of Babylonian power, he was not entirely forgotten. When all the wise fools of Babylon failed in trying to interpret what the hand of the Lord wrote, the queen came to the banquet house. She reminded Belshazzar that there was a man inside Babylon's walls in whom was found an excellent spirit, one who had understanding and who would certainly show the interpretation of the writing. This man, of course, was Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. We have seen that Daniel is a representative of godly Jews living under a Gentile system of world rule. Make note of the fact that when the time comes for God to judge Babylon, the great harlot and false church, which has grown up under the hand of the Gentiles, it will be Jews who will lift holy voices to proclaim God's judgment upon her and upon those who consort with her. Read Revelation chapter 11. In the Babylonian system, where it is supposed that all men can be turned from the truth for a price, It is only logical that men will likewise speak truth only for an appropriate fee. It is said that when an attempt was made to bribe Martin Luther into laying aside truth, the man who made the attempt was utterly amazed because Luther did not love money. Daniel was not of Babylon, and he loved money no more than Luther. Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. Daniel 5, verse 17. Daniel was always God's messenger, never a worldly courtier to be flattered and bought by gold or power. Look at the scriptures, look at religion. Is truth told most clearly where the messenger cares nothing for gain, or where the gospel, or something called gospel, is merchandised? In John 10, verses 12 through 13, Jesus described the character of the religious hireling, telling how such an one cares nothing for the Lord's flock, and flees when trouble or danger threatens. Because self-interest is the religious hireling's only motive, the welfare of others means less than nothing. I was told the story of a denominational hireling who was offered the pulpit of a larger congregation with a larger salary attached. He called together the board of the congregation where he was supposedly serving and said that although he hated to leave, he would go if they did not match the offer he had been given. They matched it and he stayed. Can you imagine having to depend on such a man for your spiritual needs? And yet many do so, not giving it a second thought. Of course, a part of Daniel's lack of interest in the reward offered to him was pure practicality. What Belshazzar was offering had no value at all. The kingdom of Babylon was about to fall. The head of gold was about to pass down to the breast and arms of silver. How little understanding men of Babylonian religion display when they view the offices and riches of this world as prizes worth possessing. Satan sought to corrupt the incorruptible Son of God by such means, offering to him the kingdoms of the earth. Of course, Satan failed in his effort that day. Who was it that caused Lot to desire to be a judge in the gate of Sodom? Was it God? Can it be, as some proclaim, that God is the one who causes men of religion to seek power through politics in our day? Is it possible that he who sent his Spirit and endued men with power from on high would now induce his people to seek after earthly power? No, he turns our eyes to the things which last, if we let him do so. It is another who turns the hearts of men to things which simply will not last. True, God put Daniel in a place of government, but Daniel never sought such a place on his own. Indeed, humanly speaking, Daniel was in Babylon against his will. Read Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. Jesus did not condemn normal, clean human activities. He pointed out the foolishness of placing first value on temporal affairs when judgment is about to fall. Before Daniel could read and interpret the sentence God had inscribed against Belshazzar and Babylon, it was necessary for him to give the righteous cause of God's judgment. He presented a message of rebuke before the king, which proved that Belshazzar had wasted a lifetime of spiritual opportunity. This declaration contains a truth which all men, including saved people, would do well to learn. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know that the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Daniel chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The substance of what Daniel told the king was that men are responsible not only to profit from God's direct dealings with themselves, but also to learn from the spiritual experience of others. Daniel listed each major step in the progress of Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him a throne and great power. He lifted up his heart in pride. God sent judgment upon him. He accepted the authority of the Most High God. The thrust which exposed the utter carelessness of Belshazzar in spiritual matters was this: And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Belshazzar had not truly forgotten Daniel, his teaching, and his God, but chose to ignore them. I have counted 19 cases in Kings and Chronicles where kings of Judah and Israel were measured, generally unfavorably, by the life of King David. They were responsible for learning from his godly life. Martin Luther, finding that all his own works left him a sinner, learned of a by-faith righteousness from the writings of Paul, to whom the Lord had revealed it directly. On one level, the Scripture is simply a record of the experiences others have had with God, recorded for our learning. Luther accepted his responsibility before God and learned what had been shown to others. Looking forward, we know that God will hold mystery, Babylon the Great, accountable for ignoring truth and righteousness as they have been revealed to the followers of real godliness in the church age. Belshazzar was responsible for his spiritual ignorance because he had refused to learn the lessons of Nebuchadnezzar, his father. Again, we are responsible to learn from the dealings of God with others, whether those dealings are recorded in Scripture or are played out in the everyday surroundings of family and acquaintance. This eliminates an excuse put forward by sinner and saint, "But the Lord never told me thus and thus." Since God has told others, we are expected to make spiritual choices on that basis. This type of wisdom is exercised in matters of business, science, politics, warfare, etc. Those who engage in them without benefiting from what others have learned must generally pay the price of failure. Uzzah died because he did not learn what God commanded Moses. Numbers 4, verse 15, and 2 Samuel 6, verses 6 and 7. Truth ignored is still truth revealed. After this lesson, the writing and its interpretation can only be seen as right and just, numbered, weighed, divided. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Daniel 5, verses 25 through 28. Daniel's interpretation is self-explanatory and needs no comment here. The tragedy is not that the seed of an empire fell, but that a man rejected truth, was weighed against the glory of God, Romans 3, 23, and had to be judged in righteousness for his sins. As for the kingdom, it was truly numbered in its time of existence. That same night the city fell to the army of Darius, a general fighting under Cyrus. It is worth noting in closing that Daniel did accept the things which Belshazzar had offered. While he knew better than anyone else on that night just how valueless these things were in the light of the coming judgment, he knew also that there was no harm in them of themselves. It is not the possessions and positions that earth may offer which destroy men spiritually, but their own foolish ambitions.